Hey everyone, it's another episode of the Bike Shop Boyfriend Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin. This is going to be one of those patchwork type podcasts that I will be recording throughout the week here. So it's going to be a little bit edited, a little bit weird. I have a sneaking suspicion that when I finally publish this one, it's not going to be in sequential order. So with that being said, let's get to the episode. I don't know if you can hear that. That is my latest acquisition of Noon Active Effervescent Electrolyte Supplements. I picked up the 4-pack that is available, and it's tropical, mixed fruit, grape, as well as strawberry lemonade. Strawberry lemonade has actually become a quick favorite flavor of mine, but I'm going to be trying grape here, just dropping a tablet into some water, and it's bubbly. Fun fact, for something that is grape, it is not purple, so it's going to be kind of weird wrapping my head around it, at least with like strawberry lime and lemon lime flavors, respectively. The tablet itself is kind of like a yellow color, so I just understood it as it looks like lemonade. And that tends to be yellow. So yeah, just looking at this one, but fizz up and dissolve slowly here. It's still the same color as all the rest. I guess that's a good indicator of stuff, but it doesn't smell like grape at all. It just smells. So yeah, while I'm waiting for that, quick fun fact. The water main in my apartment block here was down, so I've been out without water for the past couple days. So that's the reason why I'm just taking a Noon. And we also got a lovely bit of Smarch weather. And now Smarch is just a crappy month. I dislike the month of March particularly. For as far as calendar years go, I think it's my least favorite month of the year. And there's really no real good reason for it, except for the fact that I've been doing indoor training. And with March, there's these days of spring where it's just beautiful out and you're taking off winter jackets and you're not having to deal with it. And then the following day or within the next few hours, it's you're getting dumped with snow. You're getting winter Arctic wind again, and it's just miserable, and you have to layer up again. So it's one of those transitional months where it just can't make up its mind. But this one's in particular kind of interesting because we actually had this winter storm warning, and it's dumped close to like, oh, I don't know, I want to say like 5 to 8 inches worth of snow within a short amount of time. So things are pretty blocked up and very interesting. And in fact, I'm waiting for my parking space to get plowed out so that way I can take my car to work. I have no inclination to wait a couple hours on the bus to take the bus. So that is why. So just waiting for this to fizz and we'll do a taste test momentarily. All right, let's give it an old sniffy sniff. Whew, that really smells a lot like grape drink. All right, let's bottoms up. You know what? I'm not often a fan of grape flavors, artificial or food in general. I'm not like the biggest fan of grapes. I enjoy wine, by the way. But this is very pleasant. It's might not be the first thing I'm going to reach for, but it might be something I would reach for in terms of just changing up the sort of citric flavor that I'm often more attracted to, or the berry or the mango slash tropical flavor I'm more attracted to. And then I often favor with my hydration. But you know what? This is actually not bad. Well done, Noon. It's not terribly sweet, as most of these Noon products are. Not terribly cloying, like there's no aftertaste really. It's not an offensive grape flavor. It's very similar to a very, very, very mild purple freezy. If you know what those taste like, then this is going to be right in your wheelhouse in terms of flavor profiles. Yeah, pretty good. This is actually a not bad drink. I'm not retching or anything. This is pretty good. So there you have it. I like it. Everyone, it's been a few days since the last little bit of segments have been recorded, I should be saying, and some stuff's been going on. In the world of professional bike racing, there is a parliamentary report and slash comments from the British Parliament, I should be saying, regarding Team Sky and all that good news. Well, it's not really good news. It's more hearsay, conjecture, and a comment about ethics. Now I can go on and on and on and on and on about the difference between ethics and law. To sum up, what's happened is that the British Parliament has given a rubber stamp report about how Team Sky has gone about things in 2012 and prior. A very good reading of what's gone on, I would propose to you to check out Lionel Burney of the Cycling Podcast, and he's his own man. He did a great multi-blog report about what's gone on in Team Sky in terms of the daunting task of setting out ethics and living by it. However, despite the rubber stamp from the British Parliament, Team Sky are actually not in violation of breaking any rules. So it becomes a bit of a law versus ethics type argument, and it's always going to be one that no side is ever going to be happy about. If you're on the side of ethics, you're not going to be happy with the way rules are set out, and if you're on the side of law, you can't really say anyone broke any laws because they didn't. That's just like a black and white issue right there. And it kind of goes to my original point of how the question of ethics and legality in sport. And it goes back to an earlier podcast where Chris Froome's debacle started up. Now he is technically breaking the rules in terms of being over a certain amount. However, if you are going to be judging a sport, any sport, by the ethics in which it is set out, spoiler, you are not going to enjoy sport. The question of fair play and all that, yes, that's great and all, and that's what the rules are for. However, if you do not go over those rules and you abide by those rules, you are completely legal and within your rights. So I'm not advocating for people skirting up to the line, and that's exactly what Team Sky have done. However, it's one of those things where if you don't push the envelope, you'll never innovate, sadly. And the fact that there was no blood bags or anything like that, and there was no bad substance like EPO or HGH in any of the rider systems, and it was a substance granted by the UCI and WADA for therapeutic use, you can't really say if someone is fully debilitated by their medical afflictions. Should they be racing? That's an argument, and that's an ethics question. But until like the ethics inform and legislate a legal position, I'm sorry, you're going to have to kind of suck up and deal with it. And yeah, it might tarnish how you view a sport, but that's the sport. And it also kind of goes back to, I actually had a bit of a discussion with Kaylee Fretz of Cycling Tips about this back and forth. He's of the position that it should be an ethics type situation. I'm of a legal one, although I have no legal standing by this to footing. And yeah, it just gets really
it can bog things down, and you can really start not enjoying the sport in that way. Conversely, the cycling podcast, and to give proper shout out to their efforts, they cover it over the course of an hour and 15 minutes on the latest episode. I'll try and link to it, but you're going to have to check out that link on my Facebook page, as well as I have retweeted the link to their subsequent episode. It's very worth listening to because it sort of takes what is safe and allowed in sport, cycling in this case, and transposes it against what a team has done. And because it is Team Sky, maybe it is because they are put under the microscope in such a way that if they didn't come out maybe initially with the thesis of we're going to be a clean team and this and that, they wouldn't have been held to such a high standard. And then conversely, Team Education First, which was formerly Garmin, they sort of gave second chances to former dopers and people with checkered pasts. So it's sort of why is one team held to a certain standard and not the other? And Canada's own Ryder Hegedal, after he won the 2012 Giro, in fact, it came to light that he took EPO in his younger days. He wasn't on EPO when he took the Giro win in spectacular fashion. That is one for the ages. You should definitely check out those highlights if you can ever check it out on YouTube. But yeah, it just sort of begs the question, should ethics be sort of used to view the sport? And if it creates like a certain amount of cynicism and you can't believe in the results, then so be it. But there's certain rules out there, and if you're not breaking the rules, I think you should enjoy the sport for what it is. And it goes back to a friend of mine who once said that the only true sport out there is pro wrestling, and I'm inclined to agree. So take it for what it's worth. Alright, so with the sound of that sweet, sweet drum beat, let's get on to some more positive things. Quick recap of my week at the bike shop. Things in March often do begin to escalate in terms of how busy we get. And that goes without saying that I've done some fittings and I've taken care of some bike projects this week that I'm actually very happy about. It's been a full week. The office, my other job, has been, due to a small administrative crisis, has been full-on attention. And apologies to Paul. We were meant to go climbing this week, and I had to drop the ball because I got stuck in a crisis situation. Heads up, it's about people's pensions, so I kind of had to take care of that or be a part of that solution. But back to bike shop fun times, I should be saying. My man DK came by, and we adjusted his saddle position on a bike that just my bike fitter's eye while riding with him. And Rudy, my man, my mentor in many ways when it comes to bike fits, he and I both would look at DK, the machine, ride his bike, and we're just going, ugh, there's a few things that we want to correct. And the good news is there wasn't much to correct. We swapped out a saddle. And I had DK ride it, and it's looking very, very good for him. And another fitting that I did was two fittings, meaning two bikes for one client. And I'm not gonna lie, that was extremely tiring. It took about near three hours actually, before it was all said and done. And it was a great way to sort of round out the week. Very happy to do it. The customer, and client was very happy with how the bike position has changed. He's gotten less flexible because he's not spending as much time on the bike. He's doing more strength training / running. So there's a certain loss of elasticity in his hip movement, as well as his quadriceps are creating a bit of tension so that a certain amount of ankling is happening in the downstroke of his pedal. And that's really just more, he just needs to stretch, really, and maybe hit the bike a little bit more. So I'm very happy with those two facets there. And then on terms of the bike projects, I'm very excited actually for the Hammer to get his Frankenstein derailleur hanger put onto his TCX for the gravel battle that we got coming up. And just to quickly surmise what he's done is we changed out the dropout, or the derailleur hanger, I should be saying, so that way the derailleur itself can actually accommodate the wider range cassette that he's now has on his bike. He's got a one-by system going on here, and it's a makeshift Wolftooth meets SRAM meets is DI2. No, sorry, it's not SRAM, it's Shimano. My mistake. And it's just allowing him to get a wide range of gears for the crankset that he's got on there right now. And I'm actually very excited to see how this works out for him. And lastly, my man Alex, aka the Hot Noodle, he's ordered up himself a SRAM Apex group set for his gravel bike. And just chatting with him, we've really got to know each other a little bit and each other's respective views. And for a guy who's transplanted from the East Coast to the prairies, I don't know. I really want him to feel like he's a part of a community here. So, because he's coming from one that he was very tight with. So it's, you know, good to do that. And we're probably going to do a few testing rides of the Pembina Valley here near Winnipeg, just to see what kind of riding we can be done or can be done here. And a SRAM Apex group set's going to be right in his wheelhouse for how Alex rides. He's a very talented rider and a very strong rider. However, to his own admission, he hasn't been riding much. So I hope to get him on the podcast here and pick his brain about a few things and maybe compare and contrast what it's like riding out east in the Maritimes versus what's like riding here in the prairies. So I think that'll be actually a very interesting segment coming up soon on the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. So stay tuned for that. I think I'm going to close out the segment. That's a pretty good segment. Let me know what you think. So it goes without saying, spring is always a time of change and rejuvenation and all that good noise in the bike shop itself. And one of those facets is that there's new blood and new fresh faces in the shop. And I, for one, am super excited because it brings new dynamics, new work ethic, I would have to say. And it sort of brings out the discipline of what I find valuable in a staff and sort of impart that knowledge to, say, new folk that are just getting into the retail side of things or new folks that are just getting accustomed to our bike shop culture that we got going on in terms of a company. And I will be first to say I don't know who any of these people are. So that's, I think, a moment of comedy right there. Yeah, I really don't know any of these kids. So one of them is Carol, and she's been around for the past 2 months, and she's quickly becoming a staff favorite amongst the senior staff and management team. Great smile, and she's a great fresh of female energy in the bike shop. And good news is we've actually hired, I believe, two more female staff for the coming season that I, for one, am excited just to have that more feminine dynamic in the shop. I really find that's a valuable atmosphere and energy to have in the shop. And the reasons for that is it really balances out sort of the perceived testosterone, patriarchal sort of, I guess, stereotype, I think would be the best word, that bike shops tend to have. For whatever reason, maybe it's the activity of the sport, what have you, but I find cycling actually to be a very demographic democratic, that's the word I want. But also the demographics too would state that women are getting more and more into cycling. So to actually have them represented in the shop in terms of the staff population that we got, I, for one, am a huge fan of that, and I do want to see more women represented in our bike shop. It can only help us and also help our cycling community that we got here in Winnipeg. Just also a little bit of housekeeping is my man Kamo, who you heard on the previous episode in conversation there. He's coming back April 2nd, so my first or second day back from my trip to Quebec. Heads up, I'm going to Quebec. He's going to be back too, so I'm very excited about him coming back and joining our team. So expect to hear some raw audio coming from him. And yeah, actually, I've got a little bit of a, not a rant, but maybe a bit of news. Maybe it's not news. We'll see. But about Quebec. So stay tuned for that. You know what? I'm going to end this episode, end this segment and start up a new one just momentarily here. All right, so I quickly ended the previous segment and I wanted to start this one mostly for the topic of I'm headed to Quebec City later this month. It is currently March. Over the Easter weekend, which is the transition between March and April this year, I'm going for twofold. One, I need a vacation. I've been working actually pretty steadily for the past few years. I do need a little bit of an unwind, change of location, change of environment, regain the appreciation that I have for my own hometown. But two, it's also I am checking out possible opportunities and inquiries into possibly relocating. And I only say that not because of dissatisfaction for where I am currently working, or even dissatisfaction for the city that I was born and raised in and such. I just want to see actually what's out there. You don't know how good you got it until you check to see what else is out there, I think is a very important philosophy to sort of have. I don't have much in terms of commitments, things that are keeping me anchored here in this particular city. I am a confirmed bachelor at the moment, and job opportunity wise, my office gig is really just a means to pay some bills, but I do have an interest in the community that I am serving in that sphere of work life, but also in terms of the bike shop that I'm at right now. I love it. I love the people there. I wouldn't leave it for not good reason. So it's really just, I want to see what's out there. I want to pick, maybe see how things are done in another city in terms of their bike shop culture to some degree. It's a lot to sort of try and take in the next few days when I'm there in Quebec City, just to see how things go. And also there's a few distribution companies that I would fancy possibly working for that actually are based in the province of Quebec that I wouldn't mind seeing what I can, employment I can see about gaining there. This is not me trying to resign from where I'm at right now. Don't take it as that. But it's really just sort of expand my scope a little bit. I do have a certain aspiration of owning a business eventually, and I feel like me working towards that goal is, this is all going to be like gainful experience to that end. Currently, the office does have me in somewhat of a human resources over communicative role in what I do there. And then with the bike shop, with the social media side of things, the second tier management supervisor role. Slash senior staff leadership role, and also the autonomy that I do have within the bike shop, I do not want to like abandon those right away. But it is just one of those things that you want to know something, you don't know until you know, I think is probably what I'm trying to say here. So expect some raw audio to be coming from my little travel and gallivanting about Quebec City. But who knows, it's really just to check things out. That's truly what this purpose of this trip is going to be about. I'm, for one, am excited about it. I need it. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah. So with that, that's going to end episode 28 of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. I apologize for the slightly nebulous rantiness of this particular segment, but I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know in the comments on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever this is found. Also on anchor.fm. Thank you very much for the great app in terms of how these podcasts are being constructed. And if you got any questions or comments, love to read them, love to hear them. Hit me up on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. For Twitter and Instagram, you can hit me up on at DustinWHT. Love to hear from you. Always a pleasure. And thank you very much for listening. Enjoy. And enjoy your weekend. Cheers.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.